Money FM 89.3, the best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
I have a credit co-op in focus today. Unlike banks, which focus on profits and they have shareholders front and center, credit co-ops are membership-based. They run on principles of mutual self-help. How does that work in a financial landscape, you're asking? Well, you know, credit co-ops aim to give members access to things like affordable education, affordable training, healthcare, financial services, even employment opportunities. And they aim to make savings a habit, I understand. The credit co-op I'm speaking with today has about 18,000 members, and its CEO joins me live. Sanjeev Tiwari is Chief Executive Officer of the Amalgamated Union of Public Employees, AUPE, Credit Cooperative Limited, ACC. Good morning, Sanjeev. How are you?
Good morning, Michelle, and good morning, everyone.
Thank you
for having me online.
Oh, fantastic to speak with you. Sanjeev, can you talk us through the underlying principles that drive credit cooperatives? Sort of, what is your mission and why are you particularly significant in today's society?
So, Michelle, if you look at our history, we are really unique. If you go back to the 1920s in the early years, credit co-ops are actually one of the very few self-help organizations. The whole basis and the whole concept why we run and operate is really self-help among our members, for our members in that sense. So if you go back to history, in the early years, you know, workers had difficulty getting access to loans, good credit, and sometimes have to end up resorting to, you know, illegal moneylenders or moneylenders who charge very exorbitant interest rates. So the community looked at it and said that, you know, they needed to protect these workers, protect their members of sort. And they came together to set up cooperatives and actually then, you know, to help them out in terms of credit cooperatives to provide financial services, thrift and loan services, so that members can be able to, you know, safely in a safe environment borrow and at reasonable rates and then actually meet their financial needs at that point of time. For AUP Credit Corp, we actually started with a few hundred members back in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And today we are about 18,000 strong. So there is a purpose that we have, very very driven by the social objective for our members.
When you say mutual self-help, how does that work out? Does this mean you have to have a savings account before you can have a loan?
Exactly. So it's mutual self-help, meaning that members are the stakeholders and they are the ones who are also, you know, for the ones who have a bit more, they are then enjoying the services like the thrift and loan savings deposit, terms deposit. And for those who need financial assistance, then they are able to plug into this pool of money to then, of course, use it for their expenses or financial needs that they need to borrow for. So it is within that community. So it is a common bond between our members.
How much you save determines what level of services you can tap on, or does that not matter how much you put into the savings account with a credit co-op?
Right. So for the credit co-op, actually we start as for the savings, we start as low as you know, minimum of $20, and then you can save up as much as you want. And for the loans, there is a cap because we are regulated by the Ministry of Culture and MCCY. Mm-hmm. In that sense. So we have a code of governance and we have a limit to how much you can borrow based on your income ceilings and stuff like that.
All right. And would you say you're more focused on personal loans or what is the range of loans people can turn to a credit co-op for?
Right. For these loans that we have, it starts from personal, which is actually the more common one because it's a bit more generic in that sense. Mm-hmm. Then we also have things like education, renovation, medical loans to help members in certain distinct times of need. Yeah.
And is there any leeway for members to have their loan interest rates customized or personalized to their level of need?
Yes, exactly. And because again, the fundamental is you know, our social objective to do good for our members and help our members in need. So while we have certain standards that we adhere to for the retail part, but in case you know, a member walks in and you know he's in real need, and we are able to actually then customize and curate financial services just for his need to help him, one, not only to be debt free, but also then to be able to resolve his problem in a shorter period with less pain in that sense in terms of out of pocket expense.
So would you help someone with debt restructuring, say they're in credit card difficulties, number of cards, don't know how they can figure their way out of the debt? Would you help someone in that situation?
Yes, totally, Michelle. So I can just share with you, in a recent case that we had a member who had actually accumulated a substantial amount of debt through his, you know, chalking up credit cards as well as, you know, and you know, trying to borrow from one and pay another. He also then ended up taking loans from licensed moneylenders. And it was quite bad for him because he was actually at wit's end, knocking on every door. And of course, in that situation, he was not able to access, you know, financial help from anywhere else because of his credit ratings. It also took a toll on his family, you know, and stuff like that. And he actually, probably as a last resort, decided to try his luck with the co-op. And we, when we saw his case, and actually we then reviewed it quite closely, and actually created a financial program for him. So not only that, he will be able to get out of his debt in a shorter period with less interest repayment, as well as, you know, he'll have a bit more for his monthly expenses. And with that, we also made him do an undertaking. Because while we want to help the member, we also want to make sure that, you know, he stays out of trouble for a longer time and is not repeated again. Mm. So we actually got him to do some undertaking to know that he will not borrow within this period anymore. And, you know, he will maintain, stay clear of debts. And I'm very pleased to share with everybody that in the last 6-7 months that we've been following through with him, he has stayed clear of additional debts following on-track payments. And we'll, if he continues like that, we'll be quite sure that he'll be out of debt in the shortest span of time with lesser interest paid out compared to what he was on previously.
Absolutely wonderful.
Yeah,
that's so wonderful. I don't think we've had a financial institution come on in the 4 years that we've had this show to talk about how they have helped an individual to that extent. That's wonderful. Wonderful.
And that's our flexibility and that's our strength as a cooperative movement as well. Because, like I said, we are very much focused on the community, the members that we serve, vis-a-vis a financial institution that is driven commercially and, of course, you know, to maximize our revenue in that sort.
Fantastic. Talk to us about some of the misconceptions that people may associate with credit co-ops. Are there any?
Yes, there is a few of them. I mean, of course, if you look at credit co-ops, firstly, we are not as glamorous, you know, in inverted commas. So people don't really know us. And that's one misconception, that if you are small, people don't know you, you might not exactly have the best, you know, the rules or safety guards and stuff like that. So actually, I would like to assure all our listeners, we are actually governed quite tightly. There is a good code of governance that we abide by. People also feel, you know, because we are small, will we be reliable, or maybe will we end up, you know, closing suddenly and then they lose all their money? So those are some of the misconceptions for people who do not know us or have not, you know, been working with us in that sense. That's actually something that we hope that through this show is over, you know, to share with all the listeners that actually there are credit co-ops out there, very stable, very reliable. And actually, we also adhere to quite a bit of all those confidentiality, PDPA rules. But sometimes people may think that, you know, you go to a co-op, they are linked to a particular employer, and the employers may know or people may get to know about it. But actually, there is no such thing at all.
Fantastic. When people think of co-ops, I think they think NTUC. What are your links with NTUC? And how do you support individuals who may be not an NTUC member?
Right. How we are linked to NTUC? I think for the AUP Credit Co-op, we were founded by the union, which is AUP. And of course, AUP is affiliated to NTUC. So that's one bit of the relationship. But just looking at ACC, the credit co-op itself, our first common bond is, of course, we serve public officers who work in ministries, stat boards, organs of state. So they are eligible to be our members and they are able to then use our facilities. And as part of our NTUC relationship, AUP Credit Co-op also is able to then serve NTUC members. In that case, if you're an NTUC member in any union, you are able to then actually join AUP Credit Co-op and then have access to our facilities, both TRIF and loan, and of course, the TRIF and loan services.
Okay, so as long as you're an NTUC member, then you're eligible to use your services at the Credit Cooperative Limited or ACC.
Yes, correct.
Got it. If I were to ask you about a couple of examples of innovative services or initiatives introduced by credit co-ops in recent times, what would some of those be?
Right. So I think we can start with the easier bit. You know, credit co-ops also try to stay in sync with the times. So digitalization has been at the forefront of many things. And if you look at the financial sector with fintech, many things have become more digital. Likewise, for co-ops, we started off with over-the-counter services, very much paper-based transactions and stuff like that. For AP Credit Co-op today, you know, I'm quite pleased to share that, you know, we have our own online app where members will be able to log in, see their balances, make transactions, you know, and interact with ACC in a more seamless manner. So those are things that we we try to stay within the times and contribute back to our members to for them to be easily connected with us as well.
Okay. And can you share with us, I'm excited about the sort of services that you offer that most people may not know about. You were talking off air and you said you even offer renovation loans. Talk to us about the range of services you offer members.
Right. So, like I said, for the credit co-op, our purpose is, again, doing good for our members in that sense. And it is for members, by members in that context. So things like renovation loan, medical, personal loans, whatever the needs that they are, we kind of examine what they need and we try to create something. So there's a bit of flexibility.
Even education loans?
Yes, we also have education loans for our members and their children in case they need it in that sense. Are we competitors to the financial institutions? And I would like to assure that it is not the case. We are alternative system within the financial ecosystem. So members actually come to us. They are able to look at the competitive rates. I will start from 3%+, and they are able to.
By 3%+, you're talking about your term deposit rates, or are you talking about your loan rates?
I'm talking about loan rates.
Loan rates. Percent. Okay.
Yeah. And then for our term deposit, I'm pleased to share the current, the one that we have, and of course it's subject to changes. It's at 3.9% for 21 months, which is pretty attractive. So we want to make our revenue, and much of our revenue actually goes back to our members in terms of interest, dividends. So that's how the ecosystem supports one another. I just wanted to add on one more bit of the services that we go the extra mile for our members.
Sure.
So besides the thrift and loan services, we actually have things like study grants for members' children, for those people who are in low income and they need extra support for their children's expenses and stuff like that. So we actually do that. We have hardship grants, hospitalization benefits along the way as well. Within our financial year, we do also do things like corporate social responsibilities to reach out to the community to help out from the revenue that we make in that sense. So it's really a social objective that we want to do good and do more.
Okay, talk to us about it. It's a catchy title, but not everybody might understand what a thrift and loan service is. Does this mean you make there's a regular savings plan, and then off that regular savings plan, you can withdraw a certain amount?
Right. So, Michelle, this thrift and loan basically looks at the thrift part. What we are trying to do is, as part of our whole mission, is to encourage financial prudence, good financial health and awareness on how to do things better in terms of financial. So at thrift, we have actually three parts. One is what we call sort of a forced savings. So the member is able to put in it starts from $10, capped at $10 actually, the subscription. And that can only be withdrawn at the point of termination or end of our relationship with the member. So it is something that he keeps and he grows over time and he gets paid dividends on it on a year-on-year basis. So that's forced savings in a sense. It cultivates that simple, small start. Then we have the regular savings bit where the member then puts in an amount, again, that starts from $10 and an amount that he's comfortable with. That one allows more flexibility. So he sets the money aside and he's able to withdraw if there's a need within the month or any time that he needs through our online app in that sense. That earns a flat interest in the trend of 1%. And the last one is the term deposit. And this one is actually to then try to get our members to say that, hey, at different times when you get maybe extra bonuses or for some reason you have additional lump sums and you don't need to spend it immediately, then you can actually park it with the cooperative and then be able to give you better interest compared to the regular savings. So that's the three core products that we factor under thrift to inculcate that habit of prudence and regular savings.
Wonderful. I started by, in my introduction, contrasting credit cooperatives with banks, which are, we all know profit-driven. They have stakeholders, shareholders, front of mind. Because you have your members front of mind and their well-being and self-help as a motivating principle, would you say that the rates that I would be able to get, whether it was for a marriage loan, a child assistance loan, education loan, renovation loan, would they be amongst the lowest compared to all the banks here in Singapore?
Right. That's a very tricky question, Michelle.
I specialize in those, Sanjeev.
Yeah. So I'm not here to compete with the financial institutions. Very clearly, they have a different space. We exist as an alternative in that whole financial sector. I wouldn't say we are the lowest in terms of the rates, but what we are proud to differ ourselves is really while there is a competitive rate that we offer, so for members to choose where they can actually take a loan or save it. But what we can do a bit more flexibly, actually curate solutions for members that need the financial assistance. And I think that is our biggest strength in that sense. So, you know, whether NTUC members or public officers, when they are in need, you know, it could be for various reasons, whether they got into debt because of lifestyle, you know, salary ceilings cannot get them the loan that they want. And when they come to us with a problem, we look at it on a case by case and say, actually, hey, we can help you. And then we curate something that is very special to them. So that's where our strength lies in that sense.
Curation on an individual basis, so to speak.
Exactly, yes.
All right. And how do co-ops foster a sense of mutual support beyond financial?
Beyond financial, actually, like I said, again, we are very driven by the common bond. For AUP credit, we are actually linked back to AUP, which is the union itself. So in much of the activities that we do, much of the revenue that we get actually then is plowed back into running activities for members, union members. So again, some of the things like I mentioned, you know, the hospitalization benefit, the study grants, scholarships and stuff like that. We also run you know, programs, you know, to outreach to the community in terms of helping the needy or selected groups varies from year on year in that sense. And that is where, you know, we tell them that, you know, we are part of the community. It is for you all, by you all. And that whole mutual support ecosystem exists because of our members in that sense.
Can you share what are some of the financial difficulties an individual might face in today's market? How are credit cooperatives tackling some of these financial difficulties?
Right. Actually, there are two parts that we strive on. One is the financial awareness education. So we actually run financial workshops for our members, and that actually range from the whole, you know, from knowing how to living within your means, how to invest wisely without endorsing any particular product, you know, how to maximize and make use of things like the CPFs. And so those are financial awareness and education that we provide our members. The other bit is we always emphasize that, you know, financial planning needs to start as early as possible. So this whole idea of thrift, you know, trying to save for rainy days are things that we do as part of our education and awareness bit. On the needs part, again, we see members who are, you know, end up with a lot of debt through either one, lifestyle, you know, spend beyond their means. And of course, it's quite easy with a lot of attractive interest free options available, you know, buy now, pay later scenarios and stuff like that. And sometimes people overuse some of these things and then they end up in a debt over time. Once you are in a debt, then, you know, it's difficult to, one, borrow more to clear, and two, monthly, you know, out of expense, you know, then you have very little to survive on. And then this affects, you know, their own personal lives, families and stuff like that. So that is the group that we actually then look at and say, hey, you know, we need to get you out. Sometimes we look at how we can at least reduce his monthly repayment so that he has more to spend and save, you know, for his own monthly, daily need kind of expenses. There's another group, because of income ceilings, they may not be able to access credits. That is another group that we are able to say, okay, never mind, you know, you can't get it from the ecosystem. You can come to us and we can then try to help you out with the whatever salaries that you have so that you can still meet your needs in that sense. So there are different scenarios in that sense that we can actually work with our members.
So we have the same mission, financial education and financial literacy. Wonderful,
yeah.
Except, you know, you actually hand out cash. Tell us a little.
That's on a need basis.
On a need basis, of course. Tell us a little about your vision for the future of the credit cooperative, ACC.
Right. Again, like I said, cooperatives, I think, if you look at, you know, globally, in many of the Western countries and stuff like that, cooperatives are actually very huge and they play a very big societal role in helping the members as well as the communities. In Singapore, I think our credit op sector is relatively small. So I definitely see there's a lot of room for us to grow and as well as is, you know, in terms of capabilities as well. So one of the visions that I definitely, you know, hope to see come alive is really the increase in the prevalence of and acceptance of credit cooperatives within our financial system. So as an option, as an alternative, members can, you know, use see value and being able to then use more of the facilities and products and services that credit co-ops provide in that sense. And we also hope that, you know, we are also seen not only as a reliable, but a very credible option compared to you know, many other alternatives that they have. Exorbitant rate, not very fair ways of trying to you know, collect back their debts and stuff like that. I think we provide better options in that sense. Well, so really the prevalence bit.
Well, let me help you with the visibility a little bit. If people want to find out more about the rates, the kinds of loans they can get, membership benefits, you want to head to aupe.org.sg. Is that right?
Yes, Michelle. Thank you very much. And we welcome, again, like I said, public officers, union members, do come by our website, check out, speak to us. And if there's anything that we could do, more than happy, you know, to share and, of course, help anyone that needs our help.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Sanjeev, for being with me this morning.
Thank you, Michelle, for having me again.
Sanjeev Tiwari is Chief Executive Officer, CEO of the Amalgamated Union of Public Employees Credit Cooperative Limited. Again, they do such good work. I'm surprised to hear a lot of people may not know about them. AUPE.org.sg is the website to head to. I'm Michelle Martin.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio, at the App Store and Google Play.